Welcome to the Financial Markets Insights podcast, brought to you by the Realization Group, where we bring together the best minds in the financial and capital markets industry to discuss all the latest trends and news. Our podcast host for today is me, Helen Disney, and our guest speaker is Robert Cook, founder and CTO of ThreeForge. In this episode, the second in our new series on financial markets data insights, we will be discussing the need to take command of your company data and how using a military strategy could help firms get a grip on their mission-critical information. So welcome, Robert, to our Financial Markets Insights podcast. It's great to have you on the show today. Obviously, we're talking around a huge topic around how to manage your data better. And just love to hear from you, first of all, a little bit about your professional background and about what ThreeForge does.
Okay, yeah, thanks, Helen, for having me on today. So first off, my background, I was started off at Bear Stearns, as head of infrastructure at the dark pool LiquidNet prior to starting ThreeForge in around 2011. Really what we've focused on is building out a platform to help some of the largest enterprises manage their data. And that comes in a few varieties when we talk about managing data. That's real-time streaming data, as well as being able to run static queries and look at large volumes of data as well. So really that's been the focus, is building this platform out. We're a service provider, a software service provider as well, basically helping out some of the largest tier one clients.
That's great. And obviously we know that we're all swimming in data from a variety of different sources in our personal lives and also in business. And I guess probably even more so since the pandemic has changed our sort of patterns of working. So what do you find the biggest challenges are that companies face when they try to implement or upgrade their data processes?
I would say the biggest challenges they face is really the variety of data, the variety of different ways that they're storing data and managing data, and for good reason, because different types of data should be stored a different way. Market data is generally stored in a column or ticker plant. If you're talking about account data, that might be stored in a more traditional normalized database, a relational database, SQL database, something like that. And then you get into unstructured data that might be sitting in a NoSQL database. And so there's different types of data and they're stored in different types of databases. And different types of data have different sort of expectations around uptime and delivery time. So in some cases, we're working on systems where users expect to see data within milliseconds, certainly under a second of when that event takes place. On the other hand, people want to see very large volumes of data at the end of the day. So there's a variety of different types of data being stored, and they've been done in a lot of different ways. And it's about trying to put that picture together. And I think that is one of the, and that's the probably the biggest issue they face. Now, it is worth mentioning that our clients universally have been through mergers and acquisitions. And so when you're doing that and you're starting to adopt other companies and bring in their technology, and you have a variety of teams and you have a global environment where different people are making different decisions, you're naturally going to get this this pool of different types of technologies. And that's what makes it really tough, is to try to bring all that together.
Yeah, it sounds like a tough nut to crack. And I guess the other question is that companies maybe start with one kind of business information system at a smaller scale, and then they need to scale things up. So what's the problem when it comes to scaling these systems up to, you know, kind of manage this much greater amount of data?
Right. Well, you know, I think it the mental model of trying to solve this problem is actually quite simple. You have system A and you have system B and you have system C, and there's some sort of corollary between them, and you join that together, and now you've brought this data together. But the reality is data is flowing in many different directions, and it becomes an exponentially complex problem. And I literally mean exponentially complex, because once you have three systems, you end up having five different interactions. And once you're up to 10 systems, you have hundreds of different interactions, right? And so all this data is flowing in various different ways. And so it's how do you try to bring this together? And so we've really focused a lot on the different type of tooling that is necessary to look at different systems, to take that data, put it by side by side, and then try to figure out how these things correlate together and where that system, where that data is flowing. Because a lot of times data is flowing into a system and out of another system, but they don't necessarily, they shouldn't be joined up. In other cases, they should. And so it's really trying to investigate and put all that together.
And I suppose that's the partial answer to why does so much data get wasted? Because, you know, we may have all this data, we may be sort of managing it in some senses, but are we actually extracting value from it?
Well, the percentage of data that is sitting inside these ecosystems and is totally unaccessed or unaccessible by end users is incredible. And, you know, I've been talking to a lot of industry experts and it's no secret that over time, all of this data is going to actually become an asset to these organizations. It is going to move on the balance sheet from a cost to an asset as people start to realize all the value that's sitting in the data. And now the question becomes, how do you provide a scalable solution? Well, what isn't a scalable solution is trying to take all that data and put it into one place, which I think is kind of, I think you could sum up the last decade as that sort of approach. What we're seeing is working is basically building a mesh where you leave the data where it is, and then you basically let people access that. So I don't think there's a lot of data that's sitting there and is untapped simply because people don't care or don't want to. It's because the technical challenges are so significant. And I will go back on the trying to put all the data into one spot. Really what happens in that scenario is there's some sort of driving need, often a regulatory need, to get all the data put into, you know, this regulatory need requires data from systems A, B, and C. So we are going to put a system together that will collect those systems. We'll create a pool or a lake or whatever you want to call it. We'll put that data together, and then we'll be able to satisfy this regulatory requirement. And the nice thing is, at the end of the day, we'll be able to do a lot more with that data as well, because it's all been put in one spot. The reality has turned out that it barely satisfies that initial requirement, because it is so difficult to just say, we're going to take all the data from all these different systems and put it into one system. I mean, just naturally, if you think about it, it's an unscalable, it's an unorganic way to solve the problem. It would be great if you could take all the world's data and put it into like some supercomputer, but it just doesn't work. It can't work.
Yes, it's very tough, I think. And I guess we should be grateful to regulators in that sense, because we all need a nudge sometimes, you know, whether it's to declutter our house or declutter our data, you know, unless someone pushes us to do it, unless we're moving house, we just leave it.
If your house is so messy, you need a regulator to come by. I don't
know. The regulator's probably the person who's about to move in, who says, I don't want you to leave your stuff behind. You
know? Yeah, fair enough.
And so how does your approach differ to the way this has been done before? Because I think you take quite a unique approach to this.
I think, yes, our approach is very different. And I actually want to talk about our approach to the approach. I think when you're really tackling big problems like this, and I think this is about the biggest problem that we're facing in computer science, is how do we make meaning out of all this data that's been electronically generated? I think you need to sit back and almost distill down the elements of what it means to work with data. Kind of like, you know, if you look around and you say, well, what are all the things out in nature? There's an endless list. I mean, there's trees, there's, you know, you go on and on, there's fish, there's like, da, da, da. But if you come up with a periodic table of elements, if you will, of the different sort of underlying components that make up your world, and then you take it from that sort of optic, then you can start to tackle this problem. And so we've really been researching, I've been continuously researching my whole life, really, on how do humans interact with data. And the approach we've come up with the closest thing we found to this, and we've adopted it, and I should say adapted it a bit, but it's really this OODA concept, which is observe, orient, decide, and act. And so I think it's a great starting point for how you can think about humans interacting with data. So you've got observation, which is basically data coming into you real time. You've got orientation, which is now that you've found this data coming into you, you want to do research on the world around you. And then you make a decision, and then you want to act on that decision. And this is generally called the OODA loop because it comes back around and you do it again. And so I can give lots of real world examples, but what I think's great about this is once you start to think of things along the lines of observe, orient, decide, act, you can start to bucket these problems and you can start to tackle them one by one, keeping in mind that you have to have a cohesive solution at the end of the day. A simple example would be an email comes in, you observe that email. You then go and do some research on the web. That would be orienting yourself. You decide that you're going to respond to this email. And so you write a reply and you hit send. That would be taking an action. So that would actually be an example of the observe, orient, decide, act loop. And that is a lot of what our jobs come down to in the modern world, observe, orient, decide, act. Same thing if you're in a car hitting the brakes and you see a deer crossing the road, you look around, you realize that there isn't a car right behind you, so you can hit the brakes. That would be an example of OODA. So this is, it's a fundamental way of how humans interact with the world around them. And now so that's why I say an approach to an approach. So that's been our approach, to think about how to distill this problem down. Now that we've done that, we've built it back up and we've said, well, what are the systems and components you need to manage observation? Well, you need real-time systems. You need to have dashboards that can push data to users in real time. How do you tackle orientation? Well, orientation is about being able to have complete access, unfettered access to the world around you to orient yourself. And so that meant building out this sort of data fabric concept, or as we call it, a federated database, to connect to all this data around you. Decision-making, well, that's still an internal thing. Three Forge can't help you make, other than providing the data and laying it out for you, the decision-making is still a very human activity. But then when you take that action, we have a full set of, we have a full suite around being able to input data, edit data, submit that data, work with other users, et cetera, et cetera. So that's really been our approach.
And so it's really interesting that you've taken a kind of military strategy as your philosophy. And I think, you know, in this sea of data, it helps people to have some kind of principles, as you say, some kind of structure to organize that seemingly chaotic world that's out there and make it less chaotic. So how do you think other companies could learn from that philosophy, that approach that you've developed?
Well, I think they could save a ton of money. I'll start with that, because reinventing the wheel, or let's put it this way, if you're not identifying the root of the problem, then you end up just repeating and building new solutions one off, one at a time. And that becomes very expensive. And what I think is interesting is when I think back to the late 90s, 20 some odd years ago, really the adage was just make it work. I mean, there was so much value that writing software would have in that era, that you could just implement anything. And as long as it worked and it got you out the door and it solved this immediate need, who really cared about how it was necessarily architected and what it would look like 20 years later. And it was just about making it work and getting that done. And it almost felt as though the value you were getting from this software, I'm speaking mostly in fintech, the value you would get from this was so overwhelming that just do it and just make it work. But over time, the IT budgets have gone up and up and up to the point where they are now the cost. I mean, they're now a significant percentage of the cost for an organization. And so we need to step back and say, at some point, if you let this trend continue, it will be 100% of your cost. And once you reach that point, now you've got real issues. You've hit this sort of tipping point. And so I think we need to step back and say, how can we cost effectively manage our organization? And the first step that I think anyone would agree with is to stop the redundancy of building the same sort of solutions over and over again. But in order to do that, again, you need to look back and say, what are the commonalities to the problems I'm solving? And there's a lot more in common than is different. And so I think by taking an approach where you look at your organization and its data as assets instead of a liability, and you start to layer systems on top of that, which let you have access across, I mean, obviously there's entitlements and controls and security and all that, but at its core, you basically have an infrastructure that allows you to access these systems. And you can do it in a much more cost-effective way.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's obviously two key elements there, as you say. One is the simple cost, and the other is the fact that actually this is value extraction and that we need to see this as an asset. And I can imagine there are many different companies that could benefit from your approach. Obviously, you touched on fintech, but what are the other types of companies that you work with, and what types of solutions do you build for them?
I would almost say if you name it and it uses technology, you could benefit from it. I think IoT is a huge space that's picking up on this. A quick aside, I think IoT, there's been a ton of time and research has gone into how can we deploy IoT, how can we integrate IoT and get the data moving, and et cetera, et cetera. And really, it is fallen by the wayside of how do we, now that we've got all this data, how do we extract maximum value from that? How do we make real-time decisions? For example, if you have IoT in the automotive industry and you see an accident, if you've properly deployed this, you should be able to find all the automobiles around it immediately, detect that, and respond faster. I mean, these are things that should be happening. So as the IoT maturity scale goes up, I expect that we'll be helping that a lot as well. And of course, you know, other industries like healthcare, insurance, people that are dealing with large amounts of data that are generally siloed, but you can get a lot of information and you can extract a lot of information by bringing that together and looking for patterns. These are all industries that I think, we're very capable of helping with.
Yeah, really interesting set of use cases. So it's not just financial data that we're talking about here. It can be any kind of data in any kind of industry where you need to organize yourself and work potentially in real time and extract the value. And I think that's fascinating, especially the IoT example that you mentioned.
Well, I would throw in there, I mean, yes, our platform at its core is data agnostic. So it doesn't understand an order versus an account. That all is basically layered on top. And I think when you're looking to invest in technology that is going to stand the test of time, the core fundamentals have to be data agnostic. If you buy if you're an insurance company and you buy a package specifically built to solve a particular insurance need, that is, frankly, you're adding to your technical debt over time. Things need to be built in a way so that they can be repeated and reused. And that's my personal opinion. And I think that's what is proving out as the industry sees this go forward.
Absolutely. And I think it's really fascinating now that people are starting to kind of apply the same kind of forensic observation to their data that they apply to their finances. And actually the two are, mm-hmm. Intensely interrelated in the modern economy. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot more use cases and examples that you're going to be coming back to tell us about in the future. But for today, thank you very much for being here with us, Robert. It was fascinating to hear more about the company and to hear more about your approach. I'm sure a lot of people are going to be intrigued by the OODA loop philosophy and looking up to find out more about it. And thanks very much for being here with us today.
Awesome. Thank you, Helen.
Thanks to all our listeners for joining us. You've been listening to the monthly Financial Markets Insights podcast hosted by Helen Disney. Subscribe to the podcast to stay informed of all our future shows, or you can sign up for our newsletter to get all the latest updates from The Realization Group at therealizationgroup.com. That's The Realization, RealizationGroup.com. See you next time for more financial markets data insights.